You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Man, I hope everybody has had a great week, man. I know I am personally glad it's Friday. It's been a busy week as it always is. But definitely looking forward to the weekend, man. It's been a grind this weekend, especially with, you know, the weather changing and everything like that, man. Make sure you guys are out here staying up to date with what the forecast is saying, man. Make sure you guys get you some medicine. Make sure you have that ready to go. I actually went to Walgreens earlier yesterday morning. Just to get some, you know, Mucinex, cough drops, like lozenges, like all of that stuff, just because I know how it is for me during this time of the year. And when it starts to get cold and hot and cold again, like that don't sit right with me. So my body doesn't respond well to that. So I make sure, you know, this time around, I'm like, look, let me be proactive. I felt like a slight little scratchiness the other morning. I was like, nope, let me go ahead and get some tea. Like, I'm not playing the games with this, man. I'm not playing around with it. So, look, y'all make sure y'all look, get to Walgreens, CVS, wherever you get your medicine from, and make sure you stock up on that, man, during this time. But look, man, we got a lot of good things to talk about today. I'm excited to cover what's been going on since we last were on. My apologies for missing last week. Got a little tied up, got a little busy, but no worries. I'm back. We're back. I'm excited to dive in, man, and talk about, you know, what's been going on when it comes to the college football world, because we've had a lot of things shake up. We've had a lot of crazy games this year, but we are late in November, and this is shaping up to be a big playoff push for a lot of teams and some teams that are in contention on the outside looking in. So excited to really dive into some big games that we have coming up tomorrow that have big playoff implications. And then we'll take a look at what's been going on the NFL side and wrap things up with some predictions on my end for what I feel like is going to happen tomorrow in college football. So with that being said, man, let's take a look at these matchups that I wanted to discuss with you guys that are happening tomorrow. So we have some real intriguing matchups specifically within the SEC on tomorrow. And there's three big games that I wanted to highlight. Because, again, these matchups that I'm getting ready to preview, they have big playoff implications. So there are teams that are sitting right there on the cusp of clinching a playoff a spot in the college football playoff. And then there's other teams that are right there and still fighting to make sure that they have a spot when it comes to selection Sunday for the college football playoffs. So let's take a look at these matchups. I want to kind of preview them ahead of time and what's to come. And then later on at the end of the show, I'll give you my predictions for each one of these games. So first and foremost, man, let's start off with number 11, Oklahoma, traveling to Tuscaloosa to take on my Alabama Crimson Tide. Look, y'all see I'm rocking the hoodie today, you know, as always, man. But again, Oklahoma, they're coming on the road to face Alabama. Looking at this matchup, Alabama is actually favored by 5.5 in this one, and the over-under is 45.5. So just taking a look at Oklahoma, right, and what this team has done. So they're actually coming off of a bye week where they had a week to prepare, rest up for Alabama. They did have a huge road win against Tennessee just a couple of weeks ago, where they were really able to get after Aguilar and force some turnovers, and they were able to run away with that game and get a big win. Now, this is a must-win game for Oklahoma. Reason being, they are currently sitting at 7-2 overall. They are 2-2 over their last four games. So, you know, this game right here is specifically is critical for them to be able to keep their playoff hopes alive. Now, if we rewind back last year, this time of year, Alabama was going on the road. They had everything, you know, pretty much in front of them. They controlled their own destiny heading into that later half of the year. And they went on the road to Oklahoma and were blown out and lost that game 24-3. So that game actually ruined Alabama's playoff hopes. And, you know, even thinking about it and talking about it now, man, it still gets me pissed off. But now it's old news. It happened. But, you know, just, you know, remembering that game where Oklahoma was able to force some big turnovers. They had a pick six. There was a couple of interceptions they had. One of those being I believe there were two pick sixes in that game, if I'm not mistaken. Now, last year was last year, this year is this year, but Oklahoma's defense is still solid, right? So looking at their defense right now, they're actually leading the SEC in yards and points allowed, right? So yards allowed per game and points allowed per game, they're number one in the SEC in that, right? So and they're also third in sacks, right? So they're going to look to have a repeat performance and continue to build off of the success that they've had defensively. And that defense is led by Brent Venables. We all know him. He came over from Clemson to be the head coach over at Oklahoma. And while he was at Clemson, his defenses were very, very solid, very physical, and were able to have some success. So he brought that over to Oklahoma, and they're looking to have a big performance on the road in Tuscaloosa. And so looking at Alabama, they're coming off of a big, you know, home SEC win against LSU. They didn't look as clean offensively, but they did hit some pretty nice splash plays. But they did shine defensively. So defensively, they did their thing. That defense is continuing to get better and better. And I do think that, you know, the offense, you're going to have games like that, right? But the great part about having a team is just having the defense, special teams being able to step up when the offense may not be playing on their A game or playing their best. And that was one of the situations that we had on last week. It was just a, you know, and at the same time, LSU was a desperate team playing with nothing to lose. They obviously, you know, Brian Kelly was fired. And so they're coming into this game with, you know, new coach. You don't really know what to expect. And they brought the energy, right? So you expect those games in the SEC. Now, Bama, they have won 8 in a row, right? So just looking at what they've done as a home win streak, they actually currently have the longest active home win streak in the FBS at 17 home wins in a row. And shout out to Kalen DeBoer in the black hoodie. If you don't know what I'm referencing, the reason why I said the black hoodie is because every time head coach Kalen DeBoer wears that black hoodie, you know, Bama wins. So it's like he is trapped into never taking that black hoodie off for any football game going forward, right? So that's just how we are at Alabama. We take, you know, things very seriously. Look, if you're wearing this and we're winning and things are going well, look, keep the black hoodie on. And he's bought into that, and it's really been great to see. Now, let's take a little bit deeper look into this. So the Tide's average margin of victory during their home streak is 40-11. Okay, so Bama's defense is third in yards allowed. Remember, I mentioned Oklahoma is first in both of these categories, but Bama's defense is third in yards allowed and points allowed in the SEC. So they've really stepped up. I think that they've made some big plays. They've created turnovers in some big critical moments. You know, you go back to on the road at South Carolina when Deontay Lawson was able to force a fumble, get the ball back and be able to score. to take the lead and win that game. But they've stepped up, man, and they're going to look to build off of that and continue to create pressure, be dominant and confuse the opposing quarterback. So and looking further into this, Bama is 8-1 right now overall and 6-0 in the SEC. So they're right on the doorstep of clinching a playoff spot and a spot in the SEC championship game. So I think with the win in this game, then Alabama could pretty much, you know, punch their ticket to the SEC championship game. So, again, this is a revenge game for the Tide and looking forward to, looking and seeing how this one turns out. But that's just a preview. Again, I'm going to give my predictions later on at the end of the show. So keep a pen in these, different analysis that I'm giving on these games. Just remember that and we'll revisit later on in the show. Now, the next one that I had circled, on the slate of games for Saturday is the Florida, going on the road to face number 7 Ole Miss. Now, the reason why I'm looking at this matchup is because this is also a revenge opportunity. If you guys remember last year, this is the same exact game that Ole Miss went on the road to Florida last year, and they were actually upset 24-17, and they actually were knocked out of the college football playoff contention because of that loss, and that was a devastating loss for Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. You know, Jackson Dart, I want to say it was like 3 interceptions or something crazy like that, but Florida just had them frustrated, right, the entire day. And that loss, like I said, that cost them a playoff spot. And so Florida is going to look to play spoilers again. I mean, they're 3-6 right now. Their coach, obviously was fired after they lost 6 out of their last 8 games. Again, that led to the firing of Coach Billy Napier on October 19th. And so, again, since then, up until this point, I mean, the Gators, they've lost 19 straight road or neutral site games, right? And the last neutral site game that they won was in 2020 against Georgia. So, and on the other side, the Rebels, they're 7-0 at home. They have 18 new starters. Now, a win over Florida would give Ole Miss, at least 10 wins. I think that would be for the fourth year in a row under Lane Kiffin that they would have. It's actually not fourth in a row. It'd be the fourth in 5 seasons that Ole Miss would have a 10-win season under Lane Kiffin. And so, the biggest thing here, and another thing I want to bring up that a lot of people, I don't want to say a lot of people aren't talking about it, but this is something to pay attention to, I should say. Lane Kiffin is actually being linked to the open spot, head coaching spot at Florida. So could that be a distraction, right? Every coach is, obviously going to deny these things and say, look, that's not true. And it very well may not be true. Lane Kiffin very well may not be interested or entertain the Florida position. I personally feel like he's comfortable where he's at Ole Miss. He's really established a culture there. He's gotten the players to buy into the program. And I think that he does a really good job of recruiting at Ole Miss. So in my mind, it doesn't make sense for him to even leave. I mean, obviously, the more money, the money that can make people go anywhere, right? But I think he makes pretty good money at Ole Miss, and he will make, even better money if they are able to lock in this playoff spot. So the reason why I bring that up is, look, could that be a distraction for the players, right? In the back of their mind, knowing that, could our coach potentially be, looking at leaving to go to Florida, right? That these are all little things that could become a distraction. And Ole Miss did struggle at home against Washington State a few weeks ago. So, you know, that's just something to pay attention to as well. Again, Florida's coming in as a desperate team, so it's not a given that, you know, this one is just going to be a layup for Ole Miss. Now, next matchup and last matchup that I wanted to talk about, number 10 Texas going on the road to number 5 Georgia, right? So this one is and before I do that, I meant to say the Ole Miss is favored by 13.5 in that matchup against Florida, and the over-under is 54.5 in that one. So meant to mention that. Sorry about that. But again, number 10 Texas going on the road to number 5 Georgia. UGA is actually a 6.5-point favorite in this game. The over-under is 50.5. Now, this is a rematch of last year's SEC Championship game. We all know where, you know, Gunnar Stockton actually had to come in at halftime after Carson Beck was hurt, was injured. I want to say his shoulder injury. He attempted like a Hail Mary, but he actually got hit and injured his shoulder. So Gunnar Stockton actually had to end up coming in. And Georgia was able to pull out the win in a tight SEC championship game. Now, Georgia actually won 2 games against Texas last year. So they won the regular season matchup where Georgia went on the road to play Texas, and they beat them 30-15. And then and Texas was number 1 at that time. So they did that in Austin. And then they turn around and beat them again in the SEC championship game. And so looking at Georgia, they're coming off of a blowout road win against Mississippi State after winning 3 consecutive tight games. So prior to that Mississippi State game, Georgia had, you know, some tight games that they were able to, you know, them and the refs were able to pull out. Notice I said Georgia and the referees were able to pull out those tight games. And I'm not just saying that, I'm seriously saying that Georgia and the refs actually pulled those games out. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. They had 3 tight games in a row and they won those games. So this game, they were able to, you know, they gave up a first drive touchdown to Mississippi State. And after that, they locked in and they were able to run away with this game pretty quickly. So looking at Texas, they're coming off of a big home win against number 9 Vandy, right? And Vandy is a solid team. You know, at that time, you know, I mean, not at that time, but even right now, you know, people look at Vandy, you know, this year, even last year, look, they're for real, right? They're serious, you know, contenders. And so that's a solid win. That game actually came down, you know, a little bit down to the wire. And Vandy, you know, had an opportunity to get an onside kick, but they missed it. But, you know, Texas was able to hold on and avoid, you know, the collapse and allowing Vandy to come back. Now, Texas did start off 3-2 in the beginning of those first 5 weeks in the season. They started off 3-2, but, you know, they really were able to find their stride. You know, they're on a 4-game win streak right now. Now, both Texas and Georgia, they don't control their own destiny when it comes to the SEC championship game. So they need some things to happen, right? With Texas A&M and Alabama sitting at the 1-2 spots in the SEC with no SEC conference losses, Texas and Georgia don't control their own destiny. So the Bulldogs and Longhorns, they're also, you know, playing to remain in position to win a possible tiebreaker scenario, you know, if Alabama or Texas A&M were to lose. Now, Georgia and Texas, they're also playing to protect their playoff hopes. So a lot is on the line in this game as well. So, again, those 3 matchups, again, pivotal matchups tomorrow. I'm excited to lock in and watch all 3, specifically the first with Oklahoma and my Alabama Crimson Tide in that Texas and Georgia game. I'm excited about those 2 games. So definitely looking forward to that. And again, the top 4 teams in the SEC standings right now are Texas A&M is 1, Alabama's 2, Georgia's 3, Ole Miss is 4, and then you got Texas sitting right there at 5. So a lot can happen between you know, now and then. So We'll see. Definitely, we'll see. Now let's move on, and I want to talk about what's been going on in the NFL, specifically with the Philadelphia Eagles. Shout out to the Eagles first and foremost for getting that W over the Green Bay Packers. Man, look, if y'all haven't seen this, man, the Bears and Bears fans and Eagles fans have formed an alliance on social media, man. And the reason why they have formed an alliance is because the Bears and Eagles are beating each other's rivals for each other. The Bears have wins over the Cowboys, the Commanders, and the Giants. The Eagles have wins over the Vikings, the Packers, and they have the Lions coming up on Sunday. So, look, Eagles, we need y'all again, man. Shout out, look, and the Packers fans are pissed off at it. I love to see it. They're mad that Eagles and Bears fans get along. And I know we play each other on Black Friday and, you know, in a couple of weeks. But until then, man, look, and it's still all love, even when we play on Black Friday. Regardless, man, the Eagles have always been a team that I've always cheered and rooted for and respected. And, you know, I had a Donovan McNabb jersey and when I was a kid, in addition to all my other all my Bears stuff. So. But again, man, shout out to the Bears and Eagles alliance. Now, want to talk about AJ Brown. And I know, you know, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I just want to kind of give my thoughts on some things that he said, you know, after the game, and specifically saying that, you know, he didn't, you know, he doesn't care if he's misunderstood. So, and this is when he was talking about his frustrations after the 10-7 win, his frustrations with the offense, right? So. Let's take a look at, you know, what that conversation was in the locker room afterwards. And I'm not going to read every single thing, but I just want to kind of give you guys a bits and pieces of what happened and kind of get you up to speed on what was going on. So on Tuesday night, he was actually on a Twitch stream, right? And so he actually said that, hey, if you have me on your fantasy team, right now, get rid of me. So on Wednesday, he actually declined to apologize for that, saying that, you know, pretty much to summarize what he was saying is, you know, he's trying to laugh through his frustrations, right? Things have been ugly for the offense, and he's trying to laugh through it, right? And so he was making a joke to try to make light of the situation. But of course, you know, there are two meanings. I do think that there's an underlying meaning to that as well. Obviously, he's been, you know, frustrated with the lack of targets, and rightfully so, right? And we'll take a look at the last, you know, few games to just look at what the targets look like. But, you know, he said he's not apologizing for that, right? He says he's not throwing anybody under the bus, and he's trying to laugh through the things now. It's kind of hard to say. It's kind of hard to believe you're not throwing anybody under the bus. I will say that, just saying that, because if you're telling people to take you off their fantasy team, that's implying that you're not getting the ball thrown to you and your quarterback is Jalen Hurts. So it's like there obviously is some tension there, right? So we can't deny that. Now, he also went on to say, you know, last year it was what it was. He said, you know, thank you for the Super Bowl ring. That's cool and all, but this is a new year, and it's a new season, and other teams have adapted, so we have to also adapt to that as well. And so, you know, they have to find better ways to become more effective to move the ball down the field. We did see, like, you know, in Green Bay, it was a pretty defensive game, and I think that the Eagles did have opportunities. They just stalled out. Jalen, you know, was unable to find, you know, some open receivers at time, and the run game, you know, wasn't there as they would like it to be. So that just kind of, you know, had things going downhill. But they were able to get a big touchdown. Shout out to Smitty for getting a touchdown in a clutch moment. But, you know, AJ just wants, well, he's saying that he wants them to, you know, come up with better ways to utilize him, right? And also just being more effective offensively. Now, they do need to do a better job of getting more creative. Nick Sirianni to get AJ Brown the ball. Now, the one thing that I did want to say, you know, obviously you said I see the offense struggling. I want to help contribute, and I didn't get those opportunities. So he said, I'm going to have a problem with that, especially with the player that I am and especially with the player like you want me to be. And here's the last thing that I'm going to read and I'm going to give my thoughts. So AJ says, look, we can't just keep slapping a Band-Aid over the defense, doing their job and getting us out of trouble. At what point are we going to pick up our slack as an offense that we say we're so great? And that's what I'm getting at. It's not about I don't care about winning. All I care about is stats. No, it's been week after week. Sometimes we're not contributing. We're not doing our job on offense. You can't keep slapping a Band-Aid over that and expect to win late in the year and think you're going to go to that at the end of the year. It's not going to happen. So, you know, I don't disagree with what AJ Brown is saying, right? I know AJ Brown is he's a diva wide receiver. You know, we all know how diva wide receivers are, but I mean he's not wrong in what he's saying, and the reason why he's not wrong, I'm gonna run down these games over the past 8 weeks, right? So I'm gonna look at these games. You know, from start to where we are right now and read you the stats for each game. So first game, he had one target, one reception for 8 yards. That was against the Cowboys. Second game, he had 8 targets for 5 receptions and 27 yards against the Chiefs. The third game against the Rams, 10 targets, 6 receptions, 109 yards. So that was his most his second most productive game. Fourth game against Tampa Bay, 9 targets, 2 receptions, 7 yards. Denver, 8 targets, 5 receptions, 43 yards. Against the Giants, 9 targets, 6 receptions, 80 yards. Against Minnesota, 6 targets, 4 receptions, 121 yards. And then against Green Bay, 3 targets, 2 receptions, 13 yards. So you can see there's an issue there, right? He's only had 2 games where he's had over 100 yards receiving, right? And it's barely over 100 yards receiving. That's and he only has 408 yards of receiving yards up until this point in the season. And that's, you know, you could definitely understand and see why that's frustrating, especially, you know, looking at the game. You know, there were a lot of times where, you know, AJ Brown was open and he was running or at the top of his route and getting ready to be open. And Jalen kind of just, you know, fleed the pocket, didn't really keep his eyes up the field and find him. And so, you know, you see things like that. And there's other times where he looked right at him and didn't throw the ball. So you look at things like that and you're like, you know, can we really be mad at AJ Brown? What he's saying after those situations? And not to, you know, say that the team needs to, there needs to be some, you know, divisiveness between the teams, but there definitely has to be more consistency on offense and, you know, getting them the ball. I think it's no excuse for, you know, AJ and Jalen not to be on the same page. So they just got to figure that out. They really need to really figure it out because this is crunch time, you know, in this part of the year. So you need to have, you know, everybody on the same page and, you know, definitely figure it out because you don't want, you know, AJ Brown chasing Jalen Hurts up and down the sidelines like T.O. was doing Don McNabb. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go on YouTube or Google T.O. Following Donovan McNabb up the sidelines. And he's literally walking right behind or to the side of him, literally like yelling at him about getting him the ball. So we don't want that situation to happen. And I don't want to see this thing fall apart. It just looks, you know, like it could be heading in that direction. So just want to, you know, again, get on the same page, guys, and really be more consistent, right? Because you're going to need that. Again, he does have a point. You're not going to be able to win at this point or late in the year if you're not being effective in the ways that you need to be effective. So with that, before we go to the next topic, I want to say you're listening to the Lace Up Sports Talk Show right here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. So you see that subscribe button below on YouTube. Make sure you hit that button below. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Make sure you actually follow the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. And subscribe as well so that you guys can get updates and alerts on whenever new episodes are posted, whenever I go live. And in addition to that, make sure you leave your comments in the comment section, man. Again, I say this every week, but I welcome all comments, all feedback. Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know if there's something that you want me to talk about and implement in the show in the upcoming weeks or even next week. As soon as next week, I'm all for that. Make sure you comment. Make sure you subscribe. Look, tell a friend to tell a friend. Again, I appreciate all the love. I appreciate all the support. And make sure y'all look, share, and tell people to tune in, man, because we're doing big things. Look, jumping back into things. Let's talk about my Chicago Bears, man. My quarterback, Caleb Williams, led his fourth quarter comeback in a 24-20 win over the Giants on last Sunday, man. And so the question here is, look, are the Bears series playoff contenders? And look, I'm not wasting any time with that. I'm saying yes. I mean, the Bears 6-3 right now. I don't care what you say. You know, you got people out here, you know, saying, you know, oh, they beat bad teams. You know, you hear, I heard Cam Newton say, shout out to Cam Newton, Westlake alum. But, you know, I heard Cam out there trying to take shots at Caleb saying, look, they, you know, that we beat bad teams and this, that, and the third. But I'm not really trying to hear that because the teams that we beat, you know, the Cowboys, the Packers tied with the Cowboys. The Giants beat the Eagles. So, you know, it's not like we're beating scrubs that haven't beat anybody else. So, look, put some respect on our name, man. You know, we everybody's so used to the Bears, you know, over the past, four or five years, just being bad. And that's not the team that we are anymore. We are 6-3. We are in a new era right now with a new head coach in Ben Johnson. A new quarterback in his second year in Caleb Williams. And look, everybody's bought in, right? And specifically talking about Caleb Williams even more, man, the late game heroics that he's shown. I mean, four quarter comebacks in the clutch. I mean, he's showing why he's the number one pick, man. I can't tell you all how excited I am about, you know, his future and just really the rest of this season and his future in Chicago, just seeing what he's being able to do in the clutch and just not even wavering, right? Not even, I mean, we saw him in the Bengals game after they had just stormed back and took the lead. He's over on the sideline smiling right before they go out there to take that final drive and before he hit Colston Loveland for that big touchdown. Like, guy, he doesn't flinch. I mean, he just doesn't flinch. And so with that comeback win in the fourth quarter against the Giants, Caleb is now tied with Bo Nix and Baker Mayfield for the most game-winning drives in the fourth quarter or overtime this season, after leading only one during his rookie campaign, which was week 18 at Green Bay, one of my favorite games. That I watched, really my favorite game last year for my Bears, I would say. So, you know, this is just something that's becoming more routine for the Bears. Now, they do I Do I want that continue to happen? No, I would prefer not to stress on Sundays, Bears. So if you can, you know, if y'all can find it in your heart, you know, please don't let me and the rest of the fan base continue to lose our minds all the way up to the final seconds. You know, give us one of those, like, you know, Dallas Cowboy games where we win comfortably, right? So it's just, it has been stressful and nerve-wracking, but also exciting at the same time if you're a Bears fan, right? Because, again, these are games that we don't normally win. We have not won those games over the past 5 years. That's not – these close, tight games are games that we have not won. So just being able to see the guys rally together and pull out these victories is just great. And so the biggest thing I wanted to say, you know, again – they're bought into Ben Johnson's system. Caleb Williams even earned himself a new nickname. They say he has ice in his veins, and now his new nickname is Iceman. Shout out to Drake, because look, Drake has an album coming out called Iceman, so that's actually pretty funny that they nicknamed him Iceman. But you know, I got to give Drake a shout out, man. But again, like I said, he's continuing to prove why he's the number one pick. He has a clutch gene. Ice in his veins. I think that, you know, obviously he's acknowledged that the offense needs to play better. They want to get off to faster starts, be more consistent. And, you know, they're continuing to work to replicate the performance that they've had in the final 2 minutes of these fourth quarter comebacks to have that type of performance throughout the course of the game, right? So when the defense gets a stop, go down there and score, right? And not just score, but get touchdowns, right? They haven't had a problem moving the ball and getting in the red zone. But when you get down there, converting those into touchdowns, right? That's going to be very important. You know, now, when you get into, you know, late in the season, look, you points are points. But you want to make sure those points are touchdowns. So definitely got to get, you know, continue to improve and get better. But right now, as it stands, man, they're sitting at the top of the NFC North, tied for first. Well, they're sitting at second, but they're tied for first with the Detroit Lions. Obviously, they have the tiebreaker over the Bears because of the win that they had in week two. But both are 6-3. They're tied for that first spot in the NFC North. They travel on the road on Sunday to face the 4-5 Vikings. Again, this is a team they lost to week one in a game that they should have actually won. But they get another crack at it in Minnesota, man. So excited about that and looking forward to seeing what my Bears do, man. So got to go out there and pull out that victory. Now, again, here comes the time where it's time to make some predictions, man. It's time to make some predictions. Again, ran down three big games for tomorrow. Want to unpack them just a tad bit more, give you guys my predictions, and look, we'll see how well I do with these predictions, because some of my other predictions I wouldn't write, but you know, let's look at these matchups and in a little bit more detail, and I'll give you my predictions. So, number 11, Oklahoma, traveling to face number 4, Alabama. Again, Alabama's 5.5 favorite. The over-under's 45.5. This one is kicking off at 3:30 tomorrow, 2:30 Central. So, Oklahoma's defense, again, they're leading the SEC in yards and points allowed, and they're third in sacks. Bama, they actually rank 4th nationally at a plus 10 turnover margin, and they only have 6 turnovers in 9 games. Now, Oklahoma ranks 110th nationally at a minus 5 turnover margin, and so the Sooners, they have 7 takeaways and 12 turnovers. So Oklahoma, a little bit more in depth, Oklahoma's number 1 in the red zone, number 1 in red zone offense in the country, so they score... they're scoring on all 28 trips inside the 20-yard line this year, which is, you know, that's an outstanding stat. Now, Alabama, They rank 16th in that category. Now, where the teams do differ is that defensively, where Alabama ranks 8th in the red zone defense, Oklahoma ranks 66th in red zone defense. So Alabama's a little bit more stout. Not a little bit, but they are way more stout defensively in the red zone. So you got the number one red zone offense against, you know, a top 10 red zone defense. So, you know, Bama, you know, they'll bend sometimes, but they won't break. So that's going to be intriguing to watch. And so in on Alabama's side, you know, Oklahoma's side defensively, if Alabama gets in the red zone, you know, are they going to be able to take advantage of the fact that Oklahoma ranks, you know, so low in red zone defense, be able to, you know, punch it in the end zone. Bama, you know, I think, look, Alabama's on a hot streak at home. Ty Simpson's been playing, you know, out of his mind. He's been making, you know, all the great throws. I mean, has he had, you know, did he have his best game last game? No. He'll tell you that. Is some of the games that he leaves some stuff out on the table? Yes. But overall, I mean, he stamped himself as a true Heisman contender. I think he's been playing amazing, and he's really stepped up and taken, you know, ownership of this team in that locker room. And, you know, I think Alabama's offense, they're going to hit on some pretty nice splash, big splash plays, big splash plays. Had a tongue twister there. I think they're going to hit on those big plays throughout the game. I think they're finally going to get the run game going. You know, it's been inconsistent. We know that. But this is an opportunity for them to get the run game going. I think that they'll be able to, you know, establish a run game. The defense is going to be pressure on John Mateer. And create, I'm going to say, at least two turnovers. So I think they'll frustrate him. And I know Mateer is a little banged up. But, you know, I think Alabama is going to play well on both sides of the ball. And I got my tie, of course, coming out with this victory, man, improving to 9-1 and pretty much punching the ticket to Atlanta, to the SC Championship game. All right, looking at Florida and Ole Miss. So, Ole Miss, again, they are 13.5-point favorite in this matchup. They're number 7 in the country. Again, Florida's unranked. Over-under in this game is 54.5. Now, Ole Miss tight end, Daquan Wright, and their defensive lineman, William Echols, they're actually expected to return in this game after leaving with minor injuries on last week. So they get some help coming back. Now, on the other side, Florida's two starting wide receivers, Eugene Wilson III and Dallas Wilson, they still are out. They're actually out from season-ending ankle surgery and a broken foot. And even last week, the Gators, they had 13 players sidelined from injury. That's huge. You know, that's huge to have so many injuries and have your team so banged up like that. Now, Ole Miss quarterback Trinidad Chambliss, man, he's passed and he's playing out of his mind right now. Right. He's passed for over 2,300 yards, rushed for 434 yards. And he's accounted for 19 touchdowns and only 3 turnovers. So he's young, but he's playing lights out right now. I got Ole Miss cruising in this one and winning it with ease. But, you know, don't be surprised if Ole Miss defense gives up some, you know, gives up some big plays here or there. But I think they cruise in this game and win. Now, last but not least, looking at number 10 Texas going on the road to number 5 Georgia. Again, UGA is a 6.5-point favorite in this one. Over under is 50.5. Now, Georgia's their bread and butter is their running game. As I'm looking at this matchup, you know, they utilize that run, really open up the pass game, you know, for Gunnar Stockton. And I think that, you know, obviously looking at Georgia, they've had some slow starts throughout this year. So they look to start off faster. They want to fix that, become more effective early on in the game and not have to claw and fight back. Now, on the other side, The interesting thing about this is the Longhorns, they actually they've been on a tear getting to the quarterback, right? So Texas actually ranks number one nationally in sacks per game. So they're actually averaging about three sacks, just under four sacks a game, and they have 34 sacks overall. So that's something that's big. And you know, the edge rushers, Colin Simmons and Burke, you know, they're a big part of that, right? Simmons actually has eight sacks alone. So that's going to be something to watch in this matchup. Now, looking at Arch Manning, man, he's been, you know, he's been playing lights out, and he's really, really been, you know, balling the last couple of games, throwing for over 300 yards and three touchdowns in his last two games. So, you know, I think Texas, they're going to come in and take advantage of Georgia's secondary. I do think they're still vulnerable. I think there's some holes there in that secondary. They've given up a lot of big plays. And Steve Sarkisian is the mastermind behind calling and dialing up some plays that could really gash your defense and take, you know, really, really go over the top of your defense, right? And so I do think that Texas has an advantage there. I think Georgia's going to try to lean on the run game and control the clock in this one, and again, allow that to open up the pass. But here's the thing. They're going to have a little bit of difficulty with that. Reason being is because Texas is also, you know, number one in the SEC in rush defense. So they're only allowing 78 yards rushing a game at 2.4 yards per carry. That's insane. So they do a lot of, you know, a really good job of clogging up those running lanes and not giving, you know, running backs a clear lane to run through. So that's going to be something to watch, because Georgia is a team that likes to run the football, especially when things are not working in the past. What they do, they lean on the run game. So that's going to be a matchup to watch. You know, Georgia has also hit on, you know, splash plays in their past game. So they're going to rely on, again, Zachariah Branch and Dylan Bell. Some of those, you know, those are two of their leaders on offense to contribute to hitting some big plays. I do think that Texas defense will rattle Gunnar Stockton. I think that they're going to make him uncomfortable with the pressure that they can get. I think it's going to be a frustrating day with Georgia being able to run the football. I'm not saying that they won't have, you know, times where they get some solid run plays, but I do think that it's going to be a fight, right, to be able to find any lanes to run through. I think Steve Sarkisian, he's going to dial up some plays that confuse the defense, that really take advantage of that secondary. I do think this is going to be a tight game, but I got Texas going into Athens and upsetting the number five Georgia Bulldogs to keep their playoff hopes alive and put Georgia's to hang in the balance with still some games left on their schedule. Well, really the biggest one after this one is that Georgia Tech matchup, so which is not a given. So those are my picks: Bama, Ole Miss, and Texas. And look, that's my story, and that's what I'm sticking to, man. So look, I appreciate everybody for rocking with me. That's all I got. Excited again for tomorrow to really lock in and get engulfed in college football, and I'm excited about the NFL games on Sunday as well. But look, I hope you all are blessed. You have a great rest of your day. Enjoy your weekend, man. We'll be back to do it all again on next week, man. So look, be safe, be blessed, enjoy. As always, I'm out. Roll Tide. Peace.